Movement one. You are holy, oh, so holy. You are holy, oh, so holy. What a privilege and an honor to worship at your throne, to be called into your presence as your own. You are faithful, oh, so faithful. You are faithful, oh, so faithful. Oh, what a privilege and an honor to worship at your throne, to be called into your presence as your own. You are faithful. But what happens to the body, in the body of the one who at once believes that God is holy, righteous, faithful, and deserving of reverence, and yet understands itself to be the manifestation of the profane, unworthy of the love from the very God it praises? What makes the movements of our heart possible when singing a song like You Are Holy? A song whose affective musicality is meant to move the performer and the listener. But what is it moving us toward? Or rather, what is it moving us away from? The song encourages us to lean into the divine, even while it absents any notion of the self, ourselves within the lyrics. The human is mentioned, but as a secondary character who is defined only in relationship to a good God. In many ways, the song admonishes the performer and the listeners to leap out of self, to disembody, which is a subtle acknowledgement that the presence of the human in the vast terrain of the divine is a privileging and honorable one, precisely because God's acceptance of the human, some humans anyway, in God's presence is an act of unrequited love. Indeed, You Are Holy, the piece that I've opened with, is a song of tribute. It is a moving congregational hymn that is meant to offer admiration to one's God. Even as I perform the song tonight, with an awareness of the ways that the song illuminates the divine being while diminishing the human being and therefore absence the self, I still felt moved. I was moved by the melody, the elusive chords, and the repetition of lyrics and musical tones. Yet I'm also reminded of the process of disjoining that occurs while singing this particular song. It is almost as if logics are suspended in a moment of emotional movement, which is not to say that thought and rationality are of more value than feeling and emotion. But while singing it, it didn't occur to me, for instance, that some theologies construct a type of God that views my queer body as corrupt and reprobate. And I don't think that it would be too much of a leap to claim that somewhere in someone's church on some Sunday morning, some queer body performs that song with the utmost intention of publicly adoring her God, even as she has yet to embrace her queer self as holy, as righteous, as worthy of love, embrace, and acceptance before, during, and after the performance. The song moves us indeed, But what is it moving us toward, and what is it moving us away from? Movement too, and this requires your participation. We're talking about the Black church, right? In the Black church, we participate. So I'm going to need you, I'm going to give you four lines. Just repeat after me, I'll give you a melody. The first is praise in the morning. Yes, they're alive. Praise in the noonday. Praise everybody. Praise when the sun goes down. Praise in the morning. Praise in the noonday. Praise everybody. Praise when the sun goes down. The melody. Praise in the morning. Do this. Praise in the noon. Oh, you're repeating. Okay, I see it. All right, so I'm going to sing through it once because I'm an old choirer. You know, I used to do this with choir. So y'all let me sing it first, and then I will give it to you so you can sing with me, okay? All right. Praise in the morning. Praise in the noonday. Praise everybody. Praise it when the sun goes down. Now sing it with me. Praise in the morning, praise in the noonday. Praise in the noonday, praise everybody. Praise everybody, praise it when the sun goes up. Praise it when the sun goes down. Let's do it together. Praise in the morning, sing it like you mean it. Praise in the noonday, praise everybody. Praise him when the sun goes down. Stand up if you want to. Praise. Come on, you can stand up in the morning. Praise in the noonday. Praise everybody. Praise him when the sun goes down. Sing it loud. Praise in the morning. Ooh, praise in the noon. Sing it like you mean it. Yeah. Praise him when? Oh, praise in the morning. Come on. Yeah. Praise him. Yeah. Last time, praise him when the sun goes down. You can sing. Several years ago, about 7 or 8 to be exact, I recall leaving an expressive and excitable church service, something like we just performed. Clap for yourselves. And I was an active minister in training at a 20,000 member Baptist church that often had the feel of a Pentecostal service. Each Sunday, service would include a number of aesthetic, affective, and embodied elements like dancing, leaping, crying, emoting, shouting, music, fervent preaching, long prayer lines, Black church stuff. This particular Sunday, we had just ended service that was in the register of what some might call high praise. My friends and I were dancing and praising the Lord, as we would say, and one of my closest male friends, who also doubled clandestinely as an intimate partner over 7 years, uttered these words: "I feel like killing myself." These words followed his burst of God praise and celebration, something akin to what we just performed. And I was speechless. I felt overwhelmingly helpless, partly because I trusted, like he did, that the same omniscient and omnipotent God we just offered praise to would deliver us from the stronghold of our sexual confusion. I was also overcome because I was in no position to help him save his life, given that I had been contemplating taking my own. And yet we had just finished singing gospel music, the good news and song together like we did here, which claimed an all-loving, faithful, and righteous God. But we did not vision ourselves as anything but failures who were undeserving of God's grace and of life. We no different than Du Bois, who recognized the impact of racism on the Black body, had experienced in that instant a moment of double consciousness, a splitting of ourselves, a warring between a queer consciousness and theological thoughts that named our queerness aberrant. A contested relationship between that which we knew to be true, namely that we were perfect as we were, and that which we were told to be truth, namely God could heal us of our queerness, our imperfection. Imagine the ways that gospel music might be shaped by and through the double and triple consciousness shaped by heterosexism and outright theological violences that queer bodies encounter. Movement 3. I was a beginning gospel artist who was becoming increasingly popular in my local area. I was signed to a manager who once noted that my anointing, that is, my ability to move audiences through song, was questionable because of my perceived sexuality. I sang people happy, even though I was chronically depressed. My lyrics captured this disjuncture. Here's an example of one of the songs that I wrote then. I find it hard to believe you really care for me. After all the things I think and do and say, my thoughts that I ponder, my wicked ways. After all of this, I ask, am I still saved? But there you go, showing me your love, a brand new mercy, grace covering my wrongs, just the fact alone. You bore my iniquity, no longer bound by shame. Every day, Lord, renew me. Oh, 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 I mastered the art of singing such that others could easily feel what I was saying. But entangled in the lyrics, the music, the emotion were complicated thoughts about my sexual orientation, gender expression, sex, and self. A close examination of the lyrics in a song that I just performed offers so many clues into my theology of sexuality maintained at the time. For instance, I didn't believe that God cared about me because I thought that my sex life, which happened to be inhabited by other men, it was lovely, dirtied me. I felt wicked, unsalvageable, and undeserving of love. In my theological imagination, God functioned as a protagonist whose mission was never complete, because God needed to renew and save me, the bad guy, from myself every single day. In retrospect, my brief time singing gospel somewhat professionally happened to be some of the darkest days I've experienced in my life. The music that I performed, while it literally caused others to sometimes leap out of their seats, added a sense of dysphoria and confusion in my own life. How are we moved by the music? What does it move us toward? What does it move us away from? The vocal riffs and syncopations, the crescendos and runs in the minor keys, the lyrics and the musical frames are all meant to perform something in the life of the singer and the congregation, the listeners. Our hearts are moved or crushed. Our spirits enlivened or deadened. Our lives transform or literally ended by music that is meant to carry the good news. Gospel music, like so much else within the Black church tradition, is a contested form of expression. It has the potential to create community, connect diverse bodies, open up avenues for communal expressions of praise and grief, communicate social analyses through sounds, moans, and murmurs, all while acting violently upon the lives of the listener and performer, especially the queer performer who too often suspends love for self as a way to make space for a higher being that she has learned despises her. So I end in the same way I've begun, with the gospel song, which centers on a force beyond the divine. Indeed, the song asks of us to consider the faith that resides in each of us. In many ways, queerness, with its utopianist vision of futures uninhibited by the state's and church's ordering of our sexed and having sex lives, requires faith, conviction, and asks of us to do the same. Final movement. I have the faith that sees the invisible, expects the incredible, and receives the impossible. Oh, faith that can conquer anything. Faith that uproots my problems. Faith to know God can solve them. Faith to envision my freedom. I have the faith that can conquer anything. Faith to reach the unreachable. Faith to fight the unbeatable. Faith to move the unmovable. Faith to stand the invincible. Faith that can conquer anything. That can conquer anything. Thank you.